From the PSIA AASI Satellite Studios in Hood River, Oregon, I'm George Thomas. And woo-hoo, I am so excited to be talking with Matt Boyd as we start our Meet the Team Coaches series. Matt, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us.
Thanks for having me, as always, George.
Now, Matt, you've had a busy week. You've been out at Eastern Dev Team tryouts. How did that go?
That was really good. It's good to see a bunch of young, inspired skiers coming up through the ranks. So excited to see it. It's a really great tryout.
And these are people who could possibly be trying out for the team in the future, I would assume.
It's funny because a couple of them asked me about it already. They expressed interest already, and you know they're just entering the world of PSI education staff, and they're excited to keep moving towards the future. So it's great.
You know, the team is often called the best of the best, and here you are. You tried out for the team a few sessions ago, made it. Last term, you became a coach. What's it like to be a coach of the best of the best?
It's a lot different than being a team member, I can tell you that much. The stress level goes up. The attention to detail has to go up. You're no longer just concerned about you. You're concerned about everybody else. And it adds a lot to the day in the life of a coach, I can tell you that much.
So what are you really looking for in current team members? Because you're all extremely good at what you do.
Yeah. You know, as we look to the development, I'm going to try out coming up this year. And if you're looking at a team, you've got a few things to consider. I mean, one, as Michael Rogan said, you don't need a team full of left-handed pitchers. You know, you need a team that can do a lot of different things. And but I think first and foremost, you've got to have a bunch of people that are extremely talented skiers, extremely talented teachers. And I think one thing that people don't really think about is the fact that, you know, a team member spends a week on chairlifts with the group and dinners with the group and lunches with the group. And you've got to be not only a great coach, but you've got to be somebody who can create camaraderie with a group and spend, you know, as many as 12 hours a day with them for up to a week. And that takes a special person.
That's true. At the end of the day, you're not going, okay, now I get my quiet time. That's really when things actually can get even more busy for you.
You know, when you're a team member, you are on from the time you walk in the room in the morning until the time you go to bed at night. And that's not an easy thing to do.
And Matt, you've been a member of the team for how many years?
Oh, jeez. I lost count. Let's just say since 2008.
And what was your first Interski?
St. Anton.
So what is it like for you? You've been to a number of Interskis, and in 2027, Interski is coming to Vail, and you are going to be part of the host team. I mean, that's got to be really exciting for you.
It is exciting and terrifying all at the same time.
You're not bummed that you're not going to an exotic country?
Italy sure would have been fun, but to be able to be, I mean, what, 68 was the last time we were in the United States, so it's truly an honor to be a part of a team that is bringing it back to U.S. soil. But I can say that when you're the host country, you know, certainly it's a lot easier for a lot of our members to get there and see us. I think that it's important that we perform well from a demonstration. I certainly expect us to continue to do very well as it comes to, you know, showing the world what we do and what's important to the American ski and snowboard instructor. But you know, from a demonstration standpoint, it's you know, the heat's on and we've got to do well and continue to improve from what we did last year in Leti.
You know, it's crazy because this time last year, you were getting ready to go to Levy. In fact, you might have been heading over there already because you got there a week or so in advance. But you're preparing now for new team tryouts. What are you looking for in team members?
I already mentioned some of the factors. People that are, they meet that learning connection model to a T, and that's important. But I think the other thing that I think the average member doesn't see, in fact, I know they don't see it because I never saw it as a general member, is how much time a team spends behind closed doors talking about things like Interski and what's important and how do we move the bar in American snow sports instruction. And to do that, you need a team, full team of people that support each other, that feel free to speak, that work well as a well-oiled machine inside, sitting around a conference room table. That type of environment is not easy to get when you've got a bunch of type A personalities, but we need to find folks that fit that mold.
And I've really watched as you became one team. I mean, that's been a goal for a number of years, and you actually have reached that. It's amazing to see how the team really is one team. How do you maintain that momentum?
Honestly, I think the hardest thing to do is start the momentum. All the disciplines have their own thoughts and theories, and you take snowboard as an example. They've got a very unique identity, and I think it's pretty common knowledge that the alpine and snowboard common identities were slightly, well, were different, and they bathed in that difference. So to bring us together and start us talking with the same language and working in the same direction was no easy task. But now that it's started, it makes so much sense. It's working so well that I don't know that we have to keep the momentum because the momentum is so strong. It's a naturally good thing.
Has there been any surprise from some of the other countries, delegations and teams to see the one team aspect of PSIA-ASI?
But there's not a lot of countries that are, aside from the one team concept, like the Canadians, alpine and snowboard, just if you just take those two disciplines, those are two different organizations altogether. And that's fairly common in the world. So, we're already, at an advantage when it comes to a one team type concept because we're one organization. So I can tell you the one thing that really stands out is when the United States entire team, our one team, does a demo pass. There is a lot of stuff going on the hill, and that's the one comment that we get is like, it was just never ending. There was so much fun stuff to watch. So, that's the one thing that we've heard so far. But I can tell you that having common language, just in terms of fundamentals across the disciplines, it's been really, really beneficial to everybody.
And this seems like a real way that you and the team are leading really this concept into the future.
for sure. For sure. I mean, there's no doubt about that. It's I don't know that I can put a pinpoint on when one team became one team. But again, as I went back and talked about what we need for the future team members is, when you've got a group of people that work well together across those disciplines, it became a natural, it just happened, and it was a great thing.
So, kind of as we wrap up, what are you, well, what's some advice? You've tried out for the team different times. You've been coach now for two iterations of the team. What's some advice? Where should someone be right now as they're preparing over these last few weeks, getting ready for tryouts?
Pay attention to the details. I can tell you from my own experience, when I came to the team for my first time, I was in a being coached mode. I relied on somebody else telling me things and somebody else giving me thoughts and somebody else giving me ideas on what I could do for my own performance. And, you know, when I made the team and I went to my first team training, I expected to be trained. And that's not always the case. You know, there's a difference between a team of highly capable athletes and skiing minds. And when Rob Sogard was our coach, he treated us like a think tank and a performance tank. And he would pose a question and the team came up with the answers. The team, I coached myself through the answers to the questions that he would ask. And you become your own best coach. Learn to coach yourself. Pay attention to what works and what doesn't work. Pay attention to the sensations you've got inside of your ski boots and inside of your musculature. And don't rely on others. Start relying on yourself.
Is there any little tidbit you can share with us about Coach Matt Boyd that we don't know? Well, something that's G-rated and arable on our podcast.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of an open book, I think. I'll tell you something that most people don't know. You know, people talk about imposter syndrome. And, you know, they make the team and wonder if they should be there. And you see that at all levels of PSIA. And for me, that never goes away. And for a long time, I thought that was a weakness until I learned that that's kind of a strength because it keeps you hungry for more and keeps you trying to get better. And at 53 years of age, I'm still trying to improve my skiing. I feel like I'm not on a downward slide. Other people might disagree with me on that one, but I feel like you know, that constant drive to continue to prove that you belong where you are is a good thing. And I would think that a lot of team members are going to come into this and go through that same imposter syndrome. So don't hate it, love it, and embrace it, and know that it's going to make you better.
Matt Boyd, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us on First Chair. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
Thanks, George. Good talking to you, buddy.
From the PSIA ASI Satellite Studios in Hood River, Oregon, I'm George Thomas.